Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you come?
I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to episode 426 of the Overseas Connection podcast for June the 17th, 2017. I am your host this evening, Robin Tate, and I am in sunny Ballymena in Northern Ireland. And tonight we are going to be talking about all things E3, what we feel, not just about sort of the detail of the games, but just on the wrap-up. We're going to wrap up E3. We're going to talk some other bits and pieces about victories achieved. We're going to talk about cocks and pricks, and we're going to talk about lots of strange things tonight. And I have two wonderful gentlemen to my left and to my right as I sit in the middle of them both. And first of all, I have Mark.
Hello.
Mark Annex. Good
Hello,
evening,
Robin.
Sir.
Good evening. Yes, it's been nice and sunny here today as well in West Yorkshire. Been brilliant today.
It was warm today.
Yeah, very warm.
It?
Yeah. About time.
Yeah, yeah. It was sort of warm and sticky, not overly sunny, but it was like, I don't know, what over here, what, 24, 25 degrees. It's been lovely.
Yeah.
Had a barbecue tonight, got into the hot tub, a couple of bottles of beer. Yeah, good stuff. And you cut the grass today, Mark?
I cut the grass, yeah, that was hard work, because I haven't done it for a while, and with all the rain we've had, about it was quite long. I like cutting through a jungle, but yeah, got there.
So, on the other side of the Atlantic Ocean, and over a big landmass of land, we have Greg DeLacy sitting back in his seat tonight, wondering why he's not doing all the bits that I'm doing now. Hello, Greg.
It is on, bitches.
No, I'm here.
It's Terry Crews.
Boom!
Very excited to be here. Yeah, no, I'm loving it. I don't have any responsibility. I can be irresponsible. I literally am just I'm part of the crew, not leading the charge. Yeah, except for my back. My back is not loose at the moment. My back is very tight, but that's because
tight.
I also
you slipped on your Zimmer frame.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, but no, I'm excited.
So how did you get your try? How did you put your back out?
Okay, well, I didn't put it out, and my back is not out. It's just having some back spasms. So I had a big back workout at the gym, so I was doing a lot of lower back lifting, you know, if you're not careful, you can strain your back. And then I got home, and like Mark, I looked at my lawn and said, I need to cut the grass. And so I immediately went out, mowed the lawn up. Not that that's going to be taxing on the back, but for whatever reason, after that, when I got in, cleaned up, finally sat down on the couch, suddenly my back just tightened right up and was like, yeah, no, you're not feeling too good. So I've taken the appropriate medications, and unfortunately I have not liquid medicated yet. At some point I may have to jump up and
Cindy!
She's not here. I have no beer girl. This is tragedy.
So tell me, when you cut the grass, both of you, I mean, is it like the quickest you can possibly do it, or is there a bit of strimmer action there?
Oh, no,
the edging.
I had to use a strimmer on the edges, and I emptied the grass box about six times. It was that much grass. It was that long. But yeah, it took me ages. I kept having to sit down and have a rest and wipe the sweat off and take it easy.
And are you petrol or gas lawnmowers, or are you electric? I mean, what is it? Ride on, sit on jobs?
All about the petrol. I have a powered mower, so it's got the little clutch gear, so you just kind of engage that and it'll kind of go on its own. And I'm not about. I edge every other time, basically. So, you know, I'm not consistent with my edging. Like today, I was like, fuck it, I want to get this cut and get done because it's hot out there. So I was not about trying to sit out there and edge at all.
The thing I miss about not cutting the grass any longer is that I used to listen to my podcast
for the couple of hours it took me to do it.
Yeah. But that was me today.
Now I can come home every week and drive down the driveway on a Tuesday evening and the gardeners are there. And that's just wonderful.
This is how I also keep myself from becoming like incredibly pasty white. I mean, I'm a fairly fair skinned person as is, but if I don't get out in the sun at all, then I mean, you know, I would be about the color of your shirt, Robin.
I don't understand like you living in a hot country because and how you fit in gaming. And I understand maybe you come inside to get away from the heat. But when the heat is on, and heat's on over here, we just go outside. So it's harder to – you feel guilty about going in when it's so good outside because we get so few good days over here. I don't know, Mark.
Well, yeah, I get that. But I think that, you know, if I lived in Seattle, I'd probably feel the same way because Seattle gets a ton of rain. But we don't. I mean, we get a lot of beautiful days like this. And today in particular, I mean, it's hot. It was what, 85, 86, something like that this morning at like 9:30. So, these days it's like, this is why I have air conditioning in my house. So, that may be a foreign concept to you. Do you guys actually have AC in your houses?
No, not enough need for it. Can't justify the cost.
Okay.
No need. I'm looking at, I'm now starting to pay attention to the temperatures of the places I'm going to, and the most frightening one of a lot of them is Las Vegas being 43 degrees right now. Wow.
Yeah, Las Vegas cooks.
Which is kind of. I remember before it was like you could cook an egg outside, right. You know, on the sidewalk, on the pavement. So that's going to be tough. But then again, you're not going to spend too much time outside in Las Vegas.
You may. I mean, you know, what the thing I love about Las Vegas, not to totally sidetrack the show, but the thing I love about Las Vegas is that it is a big adult playground, but they've done a lot to also make it kind of more family friendly as well. Like at the New York, there's a roller coaster that literally goes around the hotel on the outside. And then there's a Space Needle replica, the Stratosphere.
The Stratosphere.
So go up to the top of that. Yeah. They've got a drop coaster, and then just for funsies, if you're feeling adventurous, what you should do is I don't know if you're familiar with the Excalibur and the
the hotel.
There's the pyramid next to it. Now I'm drawing a blank on what it's called.
Go to the Luxor pyramid. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. And just stand next to it when it's nice and sunny outside. I made the mistake once. I was staying at there in the Luxor. That's the name of the hotel.
Luxor, yeah.
And we went out to the pool, and it was about 110 degrees out. We were thinking, let's go to the pool. We'll kick back. We'll cool off at the pool and have some margaritas because they serve alcohol by the pool. And we got out to the pool, and I was like, mother of God, it's fucking hot. I mean, it was like not just like 110 hot. It was like 120 plus.
Damn hot.
Right. Well, the fucking pyramid reflects the sun down onto the area, and it's just like a giant magnifying glass. So that quickly ended, and we went inside.
I'm going to slide down that pyramid Assassin's Creed-y style. So I have to do a bit of an apology because we were going to do a show last Saturday evening and I was all set. The show notes were done. In fact, they're pretty much as was for that. And, we had people over as we often do. We have family over most Saturday nights and we barbecued tonight and we had a meal last Saturday as well. So at about half nine, just as it's starting to get dusk, I go to put my chickens into their hutch. And my cockerel, yes, we've one cockerel, it attacked me, the little bastard, and full claws up into my leg, and I kicked the bugger, happened to kick it into its little house, and slammed the door, and I looked down at my leg, and it was wet. And I kept, how did I get that wet? And there was like a 5-inch strip from my knee to my ankles, completely wet. And I lifted up my try and put on my jeans and looked and God, and that's real red. And the blood was gushing
If anybody's watching the stream right now, so there is a picture of the culprit on the stream right now.
All right, man, there's maybe even a photograph of my leg there. Oh, is that cockpit? I see. I don't watch that for bandwidth uses, you bastards. So it's about 150 feet, 200 feet from where we have the chickens to our back door, and I'm starting to hobble my way, starting to feel a bit dizzy. I go, Jenna! And all the family were still there, and they get me inside, and they sit me down on the floor in the kitchen. Ice packs at the ready onto it. My two sister-in-laws are nurses, so they're coming along. And this blood is... I mean, literally, there was a puddle of... Oh, it was... Ugh. So my brother-in-law takes me to the hospital, and I'm there until about 4 in the morning, and got a prick in the ass for my tetanus and a course of antibiotics this week. So, yeah, I was attacked by a cock and then got a prick in the ass. Now, the sad thing... Well, not the sad thing. My neighbor heard about this, and my neighbor didn't have the cock around any longer with the kids. Because if it had attacked, it would have ripped them apart. They wouldn't have, it would have stayed on them. And my neighbor came down on Wednesday and brought my chicken, my cockerel, to a new land, a new place, to cock heaven. It is no more. It is of another place. It is a dead cock. So yes, we're one chicken less this week.
Did you have fried chicken for dinner?
No, I didn't. But my leg is still, even a week on, there's still a lump in my leg, and I'm still, it's massively bruised all the way down the leg. Vicious little bastard. So yes, that was why there was no podcast this week. I got attacked by a cock. Dear. I'm sorry about that. Sorry.
You're forgiven for being attacked by an angry cock.
Yes, and I've taken enough stick for this week. I actually quite enjoyed the chicken cock pick. It was the one that was put on there, the cock with legs. Is that the one that was put on? Is that the one?
Yep.
No, I haven't deleted it from my phone. Because I was flicking through photographs.
There was a cock, and it had a sign saying, I attacked Robin.
Yes. No. There was another one, like a little cartoon of a penis with chicken legs. Yeah, I had that saved on my phone, and I was flicking through my phone to show one of my clients some quick photographs of an installation, and it quickly popped up. Christ, I've got to delete that. And Greg, this week you were in little Ireland, I believe. You were on away on a business trip. There's more Irish people in Chicago probably than maybe is New York is the only place that's not as Mexico-ish.
Well, I'll just say this: I think there used to be more Irish people in Chicago. I don't know that's in the same demographic anymore. But yes, I was out in Chicago for work. So it was actually a real strange E3 for me. For the first time in I cannot tell you how long, I actually didn't get to watch a majority of the press conferences and stuff on time. Although I was helped out a bit by the fact that E3 kicked off early this year. So I did watch the EA conference on Saturday. And then Sunday I was able to watch Microsoft and Bethesda. I actually caught on a late stream, or a later stream. And, of course, I also somehow – I think my son has passed on the head cold that he has given my wife. So it's been a dandy week. Let me just say that.
Dandy. Barbara. Is it Barbara? Barbara.
Mark, what about you?
Okay. Yeah. You were stripping this week, weren't you, Mark?
Yeah.
You stripped things.
Yeah. After watching E3 after seeing the Metro bit, I thought, I need to finish a Metro game. So they're on my old list. I thought, I'll have a go at Metro 2033. It's on the PS4. Got it ages ago. So I fired it up, and straight away the PS4 sounded like a bloody jet engine taking off. It sounded like frigging Concorde. So it's never been cleaned, stripped down and cleaned. And I've heard lots of things on the interwebs that they get a lot of dust inside. So a few people said, oh yeah, you need to take the cover off and give it a good dust. So I watched a couple of YouTube videos, took the cover off, and holy cow, the amount of dust in there was unbelievable. Absolutely full of dust. Really bad. Mm. And all the fan blades were all blocked with dust. So I cleaned it all out, and it's a lot quieter. You can still have a fan more than the Xbox, but it's a lot quieter than where it was. And it doesn't cut in straight away this time. So, yeah. If anyone wants to... if I've got a noisy PS4 with the fans really noisy straight away, you need a Torx 9 screwdriver with a security bit with a hole in the middle. And there's only four screws on the back, and the cover just lifts off, and it's easy to get to the fan. Just use a bit of that compressed air stuff.
And it did make a difference. You didn't put the vacuum cleaner on then, no?
No, they recommend you use compressed air to push, not suck, in case, I don't know.
Right. So, well, I also would think the vacuum cleaner potentially could create some static electricity, which may not necessarily be good for electronics.
Yeah, but there would be more power with a vacuum cleaner.
Yeah, I just usually take the duster and just blow right into the vents. I don't worry about taking the
covers. Just pack it on in there. Yeah, just pack it on in. Yeah, there's space in the Xbox.
Yeah.
Okay, well, look, this week it is kind of loose. I have some notes of the things that I really, really liked about E3 this year, and I'd like to sort of to touch on those and get our feelings about the different conferences. But we'll just quickly rattle through whatever we played this week and just sort of get that out of the road. So, Greg, you've done a bit of Hitman this week. I see that.
I have. Wow. Yes.
That's the new Hitman. Yeah.
That is the new Hitman. It is. It's fantastic. I've been hearing good things about it for the longest time. So we picked it up. Mark and I picked it up. Gosh, when did we get this? Like in January?
Yeah.
Somewhere around there. I think it was in one of the sales, but, you know, it's just been kind of sitting there. And I finally was like, you know what, I'm going to just start playing it a little bit just to get a sense for it. And it's a really well-done Hitman game.
John Baum gave it their game of the year. You know, and I think it suffered from its sporadic release. I think that was where it fell down.
The episodic release did not help it. But we have some news around this game as well, by the way. I know we can talk about that a bit. Well, actually, we can just talk about it now and kind of
talking about it.
So IO Interactive was owned by Square Enix. And so they had developed this release schedule for Hitman that they were going to do episodic release. I think they were releasing like two or three episodes at a time. It's like, two or three missions per episode. And it came out, and it was very inexpensive to buy the episodes. I want to say it was like $10 per episode or something like that. So it wasn't like outrageously expensive. And they had a full release calendar for the year planned out, and they released everything on time as it, you know, came out. But I think what really drew a lot of people in, besides the fact that the episodic stuff worked, was that they had these elusive targets that they continued that were an expansion of what they did in the previous Hitman game. And so the elusive targets, basically, they were a kind of, I think it was like a monthly thing where they would put out a contract, basically. And it was an online contract for an NPC target. But they were incredibly difficult to kill these targets. And the thing was, you only had one shot at it. So if you took the mission on and you failed, that was it. You couldn't go back and play that elusive target again. It was done. It was over. If you succeeded, then, of course, you kind of get bragging rights that you got the elusive target. And they had a bunch of these released out throughout the year, and they were very creative. I remember at one point, I think one was you were taking out Santa Claus. I mean, you know, just they did a lot of funny things with it. I think Penn and Teller also were at one point.
Does it look much different than the one before a few years ago? I mean, graphically, is it similar?
Graphically, it does look better. It is an HDR game, so if you have an HDR-supported system, you can get that enhancement. You know, graphically, it looks similar in that, you know, it's still got that Hitman look to it. I mean, it is a polished game. It looks nice. The lighting is great. It's not the best game I've ever seen in terms of graphics, but it's not certainly the worst by any stretch. I mean, I think it kind of falls in the middle, but the HDR lighting kind of helps it elevate it above. And the story is actually pretty good. So I'm actually enjoying the story bits that they give kind of a cutscene in between each mission. And, well, I'll I'll leave that. I won't spoil it, but it's got that kind of good espionage type intrigue to it. So far so good. And I found it's very challenging. I'm not even playing it on an extremely hard difficulty. I think I'm just playing it on normal. But, it's about learning patterns. And in a sense, these are puzzle games. They're less about the action and more about trying to figure out the right path to get to your target, to take your target out, and how you want to take your target out. And you can be very creative. There's a lot of different ways that you can go about doing it. I tend to be a little ruthless in that, because when you take out somebody, so in Hitman games, you knock a person out, or you can strangle them, you can snap their neck, and basically take their outfit and disguise yourself as them. And as long as you dump their body into a garbage can container or a linen container, they won't be found. And it's kind of a safety thing. So before, I was always kind of concerned that eventually one of those bodies would be found because somebody would go look in the linen container. But they actually say in the tips that if you dump the body in there, even if they're unconscious, they won't be found. They won't wake back up. If you leave them outside of a container, they can be found. They can wake back up, be woken back up by somebody. So, and then of course, if that happens, then you run the risk of them discovering that you took somebody's outfit. So they now suddenly are on the lookout for somebody dressed, say, as a kitchen help. So you need to, be wary of that. But it's just a fun.
So well worth picking up then. Yeah.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, and especially now
it's probably cheap as chips now. Yeah.
Yes, it's definitely cheap now. I think we picked it up for $30 on sale at
all
the time.
The episodes, yeah.
And now I think it's even probably cheaper than that.
Saying in the chat that this is his favorite game of his current generation. Each mission can be done in about 20 different ways. He reckons. So.
Yeah, it is exceptionally good. And so even better news. So Square Enix has been notoriously tough on their kind of Western studios. Crystal Dynamics and IO Interactive, both Crystal Dynamics makes the Tomb Raider games and IO Interactive makes the Hitman games. And both those games, basically Square Enix said, they failed to meet their sales expectations. But both games actually sold pretty well. I want to say they each did on their kind of opening salvos, a couple million sold per each. But that, according to Square, was not good enough for either of those games. And earlier this year, it was announced that Square was looking to shop IO Interactive and sell off the studio. And it was in question whether or not the IP for Hitman would come with the studio or not. More or less, I don't see why any studio out there or publisher out there would buy IO Interactive without buying the Hitman IP. Yeah. It just doesn't make sense. So just yesterday or the day before yesterday, it was announced that IO Interactive actually has gone independent. So Square has released them. They bought themselves out, I guess, basically. And so they are now independent, and they kept the Hitman IP with them. So they are off on their own now under the thumb of Square Enix, which I think is a fantastic move for them.
Yeah, I think it's quite curious the way they actually worded that. This statement that came out, that they're saying that they're open to opportunities with future collaborators and partners to help strengthen us as a studio. It's almost like they're saying, "Someone come buy us again," because there was rumors that Microsoft were going to come in and let them still be independent, but throw a lot of money at them.
Well, I think the realities are that they're not going to be able to survive on just the Hitman IP alone. Mm-hmm. So they realize that they need additional work. And most small studios don't just work on one project. Oftentimes they're doing multiple little projects. Look at Platinum Games. They've got Bayonetta, but that's not the only game that they work on. They did Nier Automata. They did, Scale Down for a little while.
EA use different studios for different parts of one game. Like they have Criterion doing the vehicles on one part of a game, DICE doing the shooting, and other studios doing other little bits.
That's good for them. I also find it quite interesting, and it just sort of struck me there that you're talking about HDR, and that's your new TV, and you're seeing the benefit of that now. So that's interesting because you're the first body really that I've heard talking about that.
Well, it's funny. One of the things that I love about my TV, when an HDR video is playing, a little notification pops up saying an HDR video is playing.
You're as cool as fuck.
It just reinforces. It's like, oh yeah, that's happening.
So Mark, you've been at the Metro 2033.
Yeah.
You started that way back, and you left it. So
yeah, I started.
You're
that
playing the Redux.
Ago.
Yeah, it's the Redux version.
Redux version I got on PS4. It was on sale ages ago. I started it in July 2015 or something like that. That was last time I had a trophy. But at the time, I found it quite difficult, and ammo was really scarce, and I was having a bit of a struggle with it. And then a slew of other games came out, and I never went back to it. But after watching that Metro Exodus trailer at E3, I thought, I'm going to have to give it another shot. So I did, and I've got quite into it now, and I'm not doing too bad. Apart from...
It's a great game.
I've got to a level today where I actually rage quit today. just after... I think it's about two-thirds of the way through, there's a section in the library, and there's these creatures called the Librarians, like big apes, and there's about six of them, and they take some putting down, but use all your ammo just to take like one or two down, and there's loads of them, and I've struggled with that, so I sent a tweet out saying I'm struggling.
Good game, good, very atmospheric, but and Light as well is brilliant.
Up to that, the Redux version, I never saw it on the 360 or PS3, but the Redux version graphically looks really good for its age. The lighting effects, the darkness in the tunnels, the sound's really good. That creepy atmosphere, and there's some creatures called, I think they're called lurkers, that just pop out of the hole. They can give you some right jump scares. It's really good. The story
isn't it funny the way, I mean, we're mentioning the Hitman and Metro games now. I've heard this mentioned a few times this week with some of the stuff I've been listening to. They do seem to have a longer lifespan now.
Yeah,
I mean, we talk about, you know, things like, goodness, even Minecraft and all our other bits and pieces that people are playing that are older games now, which still look good. And it's not always the very latest thing that has came out that we are moving on to. And maybe that's just us maybe maturing as people.
Yeah,
That's going to be my next rant whenever we get to that.
Well, one of the other things game is, it's just been on stream now. When you're above the surface, you have to use a gas mask with filters.
Gas mask,
otherwise you start choking to death. But you have to replace your filters. The filter lasts 5 minutes, and that's what that yellow dialed watch is on his wrist.
Yeah.
So you can bring that up, and it tells you how long you've got left on that filter. But also, as you saw in the Metro Exodus trailer as well, the mask can get damaged, and it eventually gets more and more cracks, and then it eventually starts leaking, so you have to find a new mask. So this is an extra dynamic to the game we have to worry about, and it can get quite
frustrating. I think one of the things they've done in Redux, Mark, was I think it was the first one was unbelievably punishing.
Yeah,
as
I remember
Stu Fowler
having trouble with the filters.
Yeah, but I think that was something they approached in the Redux. So yeah, you've been doing lots and lots of stuff with the community this week with Player Unknown Battlegrounds, a good Irish game developer. That continues to create its own stories.
I would just like to point out, I don't think Robin actually really cared two chips about this game up until this past weekend when he found out the developer was Irish, and suddenly this is the greatest game ever.
I watched it, but I haven't played it.
There's loads of us playing it now. Chinny's got it. And Chinny's actually buying a new £800 plus PC just for this game.
Don't know. He might need to now. Yeah. Anyway, we'll get to that.
Well, the stream now is playing footage from Mike, what he's put on YouTube. What this is me, Fraser, and Mike. This is the infamous boat incident. Mike's PC does stutter a little bit because he's streaming it as well, so I think that's why he's getting a new one. This game is so much fun. Defoe's got it now. Gary Amros 89's got it. Same old grand Sean Hassel, he's got it. Oh, there's loads of us got it, and we've got our own WhatsApp chat group now, so if you want in on that, just let me or Fraser know. We've got...
Holy crap, you talk a lot.
Yeah, Discord.
I had a silences for a week.
Oh yeah, you're in my eye because Charlie's got the game.
Yeah.
Discord, we've got all the Discord servers like ours, Respawn Kings, Chinny's got one. They're all got their own dedicated PUBG chat channels when we're in game. It's just a lot of fun. Today, I was on with Fraser this afternoon, and I got 2 kills in 1 round, which, for me, that's pretty rare, and I was so stoked. Fraser was going to a building, and he got ambushed by 2 guys who were playing duos. So he got knocked down. When you play as a team, you don't die instantly. You get knocked down, you can get revived. So I saw the 2 guys coming out of the building, so I just crouched down behind this tree, and I popped one of them and knocked him down. And the other one started shooting at me. He hit me a couple of times, but I managed to... I think I must have got a headshot on him because he went down straight away. And then instantly his teammate died then because he couldn't get revived. And then I went and picked Fraser up, got him revived, and went carried on for a bit more until the circle caught up on us and killed us that way, which is frustrating.
But it really... It's one of those games where you're making... The game is you guys making your own story out of it and the adventures that you have. Yeah. And that seems to be where the fun is.
Yeah.
And there's a few games at the E3. Sea of Thieves would be another one of these, I think, is going to be similar to this, where we will make our own fun out of it. There's a framework and we make the fun.
Yeah, every game is different. And every game... you have a laugh. And it got to the point where even at the beginning when we're on the plane and we're picking out somewhere to drop and start from, no one would pick anywhere because whoever picked anywhere to go, if we went there and there was a lot of people there and we got killed, they'd get blamed by the other people. Like, why do you pick that place where you usually get? it's a lot of fun, really good fun. Mm. I think it's going to take over a lot of our lives. This will be very much when it comes to Xbox.
Very much so. I have been listening to the Giant Bombcast specials over the last couple of days that they do, a couple of hours after each night of E3. And I think on the third one, Player Unknown is on it. It's very, very interesting the way he talks about, you know, the changes they're making to the game and how it's developed, where it's came from. Very, 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 very interesting.
Yeah.
Thoroughly recommend listening to those.
I want to say the because PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds, the publisher behind it is a Korean publisher, I think.
Yeah, Bluehole. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Bluehole. That totally surprised me. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Because you don't hear much about Korea in terms of being a publishing house.
He didn't mention that at all.
The thing with this game, you see, at the moment it's still in early access, so they are constantly updating it and changing it, and they are regular updates, eventually they're going to have vaulting and climbing so you can get over fences. At the moment you have to destroy a fence to get over it. They are working on it a lot, and I've got every confidence in them to do that, because he's put a lot into this game so far. And it's just... Incidentally, while this is in early access, it is worth buying cheaper, because remember all them moons ago we bought, I think I got it, Ark, Survivor Evolved. That was on early access, and also on the game preview on Xbox. Right, so I think we paid about £12 something for that game. It wasn't a lot. I looked on it the other day, and it's £44.99 now. It's been officially released. Mm. It's £45 now.
You know what other game we got on early access? Elite Dangerous,
yeah. So,
I mean, some of them are a gamble.
Yeah, some are a gamble, but you can make some real savings.
But you have to be careful.
Yeah.
Because sometimes, you know, there's going to be games that go into early access and they're just, they don't do anything with it. It kind of dies on a vine, so to speak.
Yeah.
DayZ, you know? Whatever happened with DayZ? Where's that game?
Everyone in our group who's got this love it, apart from Duke does like it, is warming to it, but you know what Duke's like. Apparently I wasn't on the other day, but it was on with Chinny and some others, and he actually rage quit because he got killed, and he was saying, oh, it's bullshit, is this, and he shouldn't have shot me, I shot him. So he actually rage quit and just disconnected, but it's coming around to it. I think everyone else...
Yeah, he'll get there.
Yeah,
in about 6 months, it'll be the best thing since sliced bread with him.
He's got it now, on his so there's no going back.
Right.
Well, there is a refund.
I've tackled 2 things. One of them, I bought a little game this week. I think it was only £3.99. It's a game called Jump Stars, and it was a small indie game that.
Did you deduct this from your budget?
Yeah, I have. Yeah, and I'm well in budget. I'm well in budget.
I'm so forgotten about that budget.
Oh, that budget's gone out the window for me.
So, I've seen Jump Stars at a few shows at EGX, and there was a whole series of sort of jumping games. These are mostly a bit like the couch co-op multiplayer and up to four players, and there's lots of sort of mini games, but generally it means jumping up the screen, and there are things trying to kill you, little cute guys, little small characters which you can customize, like the little chef Overcooked game, that sort of cutesy look to it, and it's lots of fun. Played it, wanted to support the developers. It's not as good as I thought it was at the shows. We had so much fun with these things at EGX.
It was, there were four of us playing. One of you and me, and then your son Josh and my son Jason. And every time Josh won and Jason was always second, we were always last. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. I didn't even know
it plays well like that. You know, it plays like the show. But you know what the difference is? The difference now is I have sound, and the sound is it's over-the-top commentary and quite bad voiceover stuff, just silly trying to, again, here he goes, and you've died again, and shut up. And I'm sure it'll be good. It's a good little party game. It's cheap as chips. It's in the Overcooked type thing. If you wanted another little game for a party, Jump Stars would be it.
So it's not online. It's not online play, then, just local.
No, there's no online. No online, okay, the other one, which I'm actually really disappointed in finishing, is Mass Effect Andromeda.
Oh, have you finished it?
I finished it.
Did you like the ending?
It's good. Yes, I really did. Yeah, I finished it this morning to titles, and I've went round and done a few things because there's an epilogue. And I've went back up into my ship. Oh, sorry, no shit. Somebody's went back up into the ship. Okay, no spoilers. And there is a new game plus sort of thing. Well, that's fair enough. Okay. I have well over 100 plus hours into this game now, and I feel sad that it's over. I didn't want it to finish. But I loved
loads
it.
There's still to do.
I know.
We're going to be bringing in grief counselors, and they'll be coming in and they'll talk to you.
Will there be DLC for this?
Pardon?
Will there be DLC for this? Because they did for the other ones, didn't they?
I don't know, but I'm very pleased.
I would be shocked.
Because we're working on Anthem.
It's a pain in the butt. I don't understand. I really don't understand why it got so much flack. Because it is an epic game.
Oh, I love that.
It launched rough.
If they had a sort of the eyes and the giant gout, if they had to just give it a couple more weeks, and I know it was probably pressure in the financial year and all that shit, but another four weeks of polish, and this would have been up there with one of the Mass Effect series. Because Sarah Ryder as a character, I think she's quirky, she's cute, spunky, you know, a great, great character. When I finished the game, I've done I have done every side mission apart from a few of the extra optional ones, which are quite abstract. The last mission was there, and I just didn't want to go to it because I just loved this world. I thought it was brilliant. I've been playing along with a little app and the strike missions as well and doing all those sorts of things. And it was, there was some brilliant CGI towards the end of it as you build up to the big battle scene, which can't be a spoiler because that's every Mass Effect. There's a big, big crescendo.
I can't play the game anymore.
Yeah. Fabulous. So it's done. There's still lots more to play.
We need to get some multiplayer going on this.
Sorry, you spoil it. Yeah. Well, yeah, we do. I mean, there was so many little quirks and side things that I got to do. The fight in the bar, you know, that you would have could have missed completely. Yeah. The zombies, the nod in the head, a nod to the smoking man, what do you call it, the elusive man. Yeah. You know, there were so many little things, the cannibals, so many things that were there which weren't on that main track and more main storyline. Yeah. There's just so much to this game.
So much of the game just got ruined for me.
No. There's tons.
Oh, by the time Mass I get Effect, back around to playing it, I will have forgotten all of this.
Mass Effect done. Brilliant game.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Loved it. Okay. E3 is over. It's in the books. It's done. It's finished. They're wrapping up the stand. I'm sure the hall is empty now, and they're making a way for the Mothers Union exhibition this weekend. And as I think back on E3 over the last week, I wasn't that excited going into it. I was maybe just too busy with work and other stuff I got there, I don't know. But as I watched the shows and I've watched them back and watched the trailers back again, there was just, I felt, I feel even looking back at this now, so much great stuff happened at E3 this year. I thought, you know, some of the games and some of the stuff that we've seen, the games have matured so much with their story and comedy and the look of them. And we're in such a fantastic time of gaming.
I'm just going to interrupt real quickly, just on kind of on that pre-E3 hype. I actually went into E3 kind of polar opposite from you. I went into E3 with some very lofty, high expectations. And to be very honest, I came out of it not quite as high.
Well, maybe when we're finished this show, you'll get a bit of buzz back.
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, there's certainly games that have been announced and things that have been announced that I'm excited for. Don't get me wrong. But I was actually pretty disappointed by I think that the show leading into E3, there was a lot of promise for a lot of big announcements and some really big things, and quite honestly I don't think the show delivered in that front. But there was still quite a lot of good content that did get delivered, and a lot of things that didn't necessarily make it to prime time that got announced and kind of subtly released out that I ended up kind of catching here and there, and those things also have me just as excited. So
okay, well let's do it quick. We'll talk about the big hardware release first. We have to do it really first. So the Xbox One X is here. It's coming soon. As soon as it passes that it's safe to switch it on, it'll be up for pre-order. And it is coming out before holiday of this year, and it has a price tag of $499, which will probably be about, what, Mark, 430 quid? 440
pounds? 449, they've said.
449.
So, yeah.
Yes, we had hoped for $399. You'll get to that in your predictions. But I suppose we shouldn't be that disappointed, because it's always been said that this was a premium device, and that was sort of the price point that, yeah, it's okay. It's on the edge of being, and it would have been lovely at $399, but if the promise of the box comes out, and it's fulfilled. I mean, it's full of lots of, as you see in that little graphic there, it's full of teraflops and gigabytes and CPU kernels.
There's a lot they packed into the box.
Yeah.
And like what you're saying, Robin, I think, sadly for Microsoft, because I think it did kind of negatively kind of overshadow for a little bit at least, there was a pre-E3 narrative that started to really catch a lot of groundswell that I think a lot of people bought into this notion of they're going to come out at $399, and the rumor of $399 speculation turned into pseudo fact for quite a while, and so a lot of us bought into it. Like it totally makes sense, man.
When I see there. You see there, I mean, in the chat, hello, Batch. Batch is saying Xbox One X is basically a more powerful PS4 Pro, which, in truth, that statement in itself is correct.
Right.
But the Xbox One X is a hell of a lot more powerful than the PS4 Pro. It's not a pissing competition, but the basic stuff that's in it, the Dolby Atmos stuff, which is nowhere near PS4 Pro, if you want to play your HDR, Blu-ray type things as standard. It's in there. That's also in the Xbox S as well. So those hardware things are in there. As well as that, the devs, forget us, forget the gamers, the devs are excited about this.
They love it.
Out of the box, they're doing PC ports over from their things, and it's taken 24 to 48 hours to get it running really well on the Xbox One X. So that bodes well for high-quality games being developed because it's easy to develop for. And I don't remember that ever being talked about at that level with the PS4 Pro. PS4 Pro is a great machine. This is a monster. The only thing that holds this back is the Xbox One. trying to hold back to keep everybody happy. But I think the way the marketing is going to go with this thing is games are going to look so much better here that you'll want to go. And even listening to Phil Spencer on Giant Bomb, he's saying, look, you know what? We expect to sell a hell of a lot more S's than we do Xbox One X's. It is for the gamer that wants to have the best device to be in the best place to play his games. And even if he doesn't have a 4K TV, with the upscaling for the 1080p, he or she is going to see a big, big difference in games. So
Mark, do you want to give your thoughts before I do?
Yeah. Mark, on you go.
I'm sold on it. I loved what they did with the X. I even like the name. I like the size of it. It's crazy how it's the most powerful, yet it's the smallest ever Xbox they've ever made. On the second E3 Daily Show, Major Nelson was with one of the engineer guys, and he did a complete rebuild from scratch. He started with a motherboard, then he added the other bits and bats to it, and it's just how it's all built and compact and put together. I think they've done a really good job. To say they're more, well, they used to be more software focused than hardware. I think this is going to be
that video. By the way, it's out there on YouTube. That's actually just a great video for anybody that likes hardware stuff, because the guy that is explaining it to Major Nelson, I felt like he did a really good job of not just explaining kind of what they were, you know, how the parts fit together, but why and what was done to make them the way they were. So that was a pretty cool, nerdy moment to watch that video for sure.
And the price, I weren't as optimistic as you guys. I thought it would be more than what you thought it'd be. I didn't think for a minute it'd be $399. But I actually thought it'd be more like $600 like the PS3 was when that first came out. So it's in the middle for me, so I'm happy with that price.
I'm not happy with the price. I would love it to be
$399.
Oh, yeah. Right. At $399, it was, I'm getting one straight away.
Yeah.
At $449, I have to go, that's a purchase now. That's not just a little blip on the credit card, Robin. That is, Judith. Yeah. Well, you know,
when I say I'm happy with the price, I'm happy it's not $600 like we thought.
Yeah, okay. Right.
That's what I meant.
Greg, what were your initial impressions of Xbox One X?
So, I mean, the hardware design, I think, is spectacular. It's an impressive box. The price point, like you, Robin, and Mark, obviously, you as well. I mean, all of us, I think, hoped for $399. And the fact that it's $499, after listening to devs talk and kind of getting some of that reassurance that, you know what, what's in that box is more than worth what you're paying for. So from that standpoint, I'm okay with it. I will say this, for this year in particular, I think my expectations for what the PS4 Pro versus what the Xbox One X are going to be capable of doing are actually tempered, because the realities are that devs are just getting their hands on these dev kits in January, February timeframe for the Xbox One X. So the likelihood of anything coming out in October, November that's geared towards Xbox One X is probably going to be the same build as PS4 Pro.
Well, you gotta listen to that giant bomb stuff when Phil's on there and he's talking about.
I listened to it thoroughly. But what I'm getting at is we already know Assassin's Creed The new Assassin's Creed Origins game, I believe, is running the same on PS4 Pro as it is on the Xbox One X. And I think Destiny is another prime example. Destiny 2, they said...
Yeah, it's a bit of a talking point at the moment.
Yeah.
They're actually...
They said, you know, it's 4K for the PS4 Pro, and they said, well, we're not sure yet for the Xbox One X, which is a ridiculous statement to make on the surface, but then maybe that lends itself to the fact that they don't have... You know, they got dev kits late. I'm sure it will come out and match, because I think what they're, you know, what Destiny and Bungie are doing is what a lot of devs, especially early on, are going to do, which is, we don't have a lot of time to mess with this, so let's just get it to a, you know, kind of equal footing. We'll just, you know, see if we can't apply what we're doing here on that machine. As long as we can do that and it looks great and it runs great, fine. I think 2018. We'll start to see it stretch its legs. Yeah. And we'll start to see devs have more time with the dev kits, and they're going to be like, you know what, we can push this farther. We can do more with this.
And where I think Microsoft will jump ahead with this easier than Sony, and again, this is not a pissing thing, is because of the crossover and the link up with PC, the Play Anywhere stuff. Right. So if they're developing a first party title for PC, it's easier to bring the textures, high def textures from the PC into the Xbox One, because it's the same, almost the same sort of infrastructure that they're doing now, and they are developing those games for PC more than they are for PlayStation at this moment in time. You know, Uncharted is not coming on PC, you know, right. So Gears, Forza, all of those things are already there. So that is going to be an advantage for developing the higher textures and all other bits and pieces. So that, you know, that Xbox platform, the way it's developing, is good for us guys that like a box under our TV.
I saw an interview with one of the studio heads from EA. I think it was on the Xbox Daily. It was Graham Boyd, AC Bongos, doing the interview. And it was asking him how long it took him to get used to the Xbox One X with a dev kit and what it was like to work with. And he says literally within 7 days, the guys were up and running, they knew what they was doing, and they had stuff working on it. Because it's more used to what they're doing at the moment anyway, with PC, like Robin says, with PC. So yeah, he says within 7 days, the dev kits were working as they wanted. So
again, this is hope for the future, I think the future looks very, very good. And I absolutely like Greg. 2018 is great. I love their approach that they have already, you know, a list of, I think it's 30 games with enhanced upgrades that will come out at launch, which is great as well. So, I'll get my pre-order as soon as it's ready, you know.
There's a quote from Phil Spencer as well saying that there are new IPs and new games coming, but obviously in a 2 or 3 years time, but he didn't want to announce them 2 or 3 years early, because that's been a bit of a joke at the last few E3s, hasn't it?
Well, let's face it, the Xbox, I mean, if we look at this year's launch line or this year's lineup for first party AAA titles, they got really hurt by the fact that one, they killed Scalebound, and then also Fable Legends was another game that was supposed to be coming out early part of this year. Now, I don't know if that was going to be AAA or not, but, I mean, it was a big title that they had been out, you know, kind of promoting for quite a while. That got killed off. So that was a big hit to their holiday lineup. So, yeah, they're coming in a little light on the AAA, you know, first-party AAA games, you know, comparatively speaking. But that's for a secondary discussion when we talk about my thoughts on the conferences.
Yeah, so, okay, so positive, good stuff, great. It sounds like all three of us are going to be lining up to have one delivered or picked up, so that's good. I'd be very interested to hear from the community at @OC_podcast or podcast@ocpod.com. Who's going to be picking one of these things up?
And, I think, we should put out a Twitter poll. We'll fire off a Twitter poll this afternoon. Once we're done with the show, or if I can get to it while we're talking, I'll throw it up while the show's going.
And we'll put it up on the Facebook group as well.
Yeah, so E3 opened up with, what do you call them? Not Ubisoft, not Bethesda. Who was it, damn it?
EA.
Who opened the show?
EA
opened the show. Yeah, and they were opened the show with stuff like that silly driving game. damn it, I don't have the EA notes up. EA, hold on, I'll go to my little book, my trusty little book that I started with. So yeah, Battlefield. They had,
Battlefield. That chick walk on, didn't they? Who does the voice? Yeah.
Oh yeah, the angry, Star Wars bird. Yeah, that was in it. look, again, I don't want to repeat everything that we've done on Wednesday. So,
right.
I mean, sort of the highlights of their Battlefield look good. I wanted to see more single player. I love the little robots that are in it. It looks interesting. Am I in a queue to run out and buy Battlefield again in a hurry? Not at the moment. Yeah, I love Star Wars, and maybe I will come into that, but it wouldn't be on my the list of things that I've written down of stuff that I want to get this year. It'll all lie on the single player for me.
Yeah.
Greg, we've chatted about this, but Greg, the Battlefield stuff? Did you like it?
Yes. I mean, I didn't enjoy necessarily their presentation. I mean, a lot of what EA did had a lot of cringeworthy moments, but they did not make my worst press conference for the show. Somebody else beat them out, and. I felt the Battlefield front stuff was the Battlefield front. There you go.
That'll do.
There's a little slip. The Battlefront 2 stuff looked great. I'm super excited for that single player. But yeah, the presentation itself, I wasn't terribly bothered. I focused more on what they showed.
Yeah, no, the EA conference was a bit sad. I mean, again, going back to my notes, they were all trying too hard. You know, they're all coming over. They're trying so hard they actually came across angry. All of the Star Wars girl seemed to be angry with everybody. She was trying to be so forceful. But I mean, they were going through there was that. Then there was a Battlefield, and they had their Madden and NBA, which was just bloody awful. And they teased Anthem, which we'll get to later on. But I mean, EA was a very, very light conference altogether. The Need for Speed stuff I just thought was pretty generic as a driving game.
Yeah.
And out of the things they showed for me, Battlefield and Battlefront were the most interesting, and Battlefield was DLC with Russian chicks.
Yeah.
You know, the Russians have even got to them. It's splitting awful. Yeah, they can't go anywhere. So that wasn't terribly exciting for them. You know, there was no oohs and ah moments right. for me there really at all. You know, it was more Star Wars and it was more Battlefield and a generic racing game with car, you know, just another car game. And that might be good, but I think I think the crew outshone this. So, yeah.
Like I mentioned on Wednesday, the Need for Speed one seemed more of a rip off of Fast and Furious than it did of the current Need for Speed racing genre.
Yeah, and wasn't the last Need for Speed that horrible with real video in it? Last one they'd done? Was that
I couldn't remember what the last Need for Speed was called, but it was just called Need for Speed. It didn't have a subtitle or anything. And I've played a tiny bit of that. And yeah, that uses the live action, but Rivals was pretty good. But I've not really played much of the last one.
Yeah, it's been a while since I had a good one. Yeah. So EA wasn't great.
No.
So, I mean, the big buzz then was we got straight into the Microsoft conference, and, God, they showed 42 games. I mean, and out of those, I've been rattled through some of the things that were my highlights. I mean, Assassin's Creed, Forza, Mordor, Metro Exodus, Battleground, State of Decay, Sea of Thieves, Crackdown 3, OG Xbox, Ori and the Will of the Wisps, the Minecraft mashup, Ashen and Cuphead. I mean, wow, just that's what a lineup. And I know some of them will be available on other platforms, but damn, there's some. I mean, the comedy and the look of that new Shadow of Mordor game was just awesome. You know, Forza, eye candy. Yes, it's more Forza, but it's really important to me. You know, that is as big as an Uncharted to me. You know, I can't wait to get my hands on Forza 7.
Yeah, Forza 7 looked fantastic.
Yeah.
In fact, I've rewatched a lot of that opening video, and then I've seen some subsequent races. And so a couple things that really stood out to me, just to touch base on that. One, now seeing your driver and having driver gear, actually customizing your driver. So when you're in the lobby, you'll see that. Yeah, as a mummy, sure. Why not? but the thing that really impressed me the most was, you know, they were talking about during the press conference, when they were showing off the game, they were alluding to the fact that puddles will kind of grow as the rainstorms happen and they will shrink. But what I noticed, which just it was one of those holy crap moments, was when they were racing in Dubai and it was a daylight, you know, perfectly sunny out, and they're racing the track and they get into this one section and you see the wind is picking up and you see the sand coming across the screen, and what I notice is the sand was actually drifting onto the track as well. And beautiful. When they made a second pass, I saw the sand had come out further onto the track, just as it would in some kind of sandstorm. And to me, that was one of those, okay, that's pretty slick.
Yeah, Tress effects for
it's just, yeah. I've just got my screen now, and actually, as the car's going over that sand, it's kicking the sand up as well. And to say that she said she's a professional driver, she was hitting the curbs a lot on that, I have to say.
Well, she was making use of all the space that she had.
You can be a professional driver. Yeah. That does not mean you will drive well in Forza.
Yeah. I mean, I know it's Forza and you go, it's a driving game. But there's a massive driving community. And I know also PlayStation will get their GT Sport game this year. And I know it also has dynamic weather in it as well. I played at EGX some of the preview builds of it as well, and it looks great too, but they're behind the ball just at the moment. It'll be interesting to see how well they get that together. So
it's been in beta for quite a while now.
Yeah. So I'm really, really looking forward to Forza. Some of the other stuff that was there, the Assassin's Creed stuff, again, will be available everywhere. That looks fabulously fleshed out now, as almost like an RPG. I mean, that looks good. I'm excited for an Assassin's Creed game. And I know you're a fan, Mark.
I
was kind of lukewarm on it.
I like how it's getting more RPG elements, so it's going to be more
involved.
Well,
that was the thing that I liked, yeah. I did feel though they still are kind of reusing some of their previous animations. Like you could, you know, and maybe that is, being nitpicky.
That's just it.
But I like the new eagle vision, which is you're a fucking eagle. You actually take over an eagle.
I'll just throw out, you're an eagle. Is you're a drone. That disappointed me. Once I saw the fucking eagle marking targets, I'm like, oh, okay, that's a drone.
it does look good, but I suppose I should really focus more on the things that made me fizz. And Metro Exodus was one of those, definitely. And Mordor was definitely State of Decay. Metro Exodus looked lush, absolutely fabulous. And we were talking about Metro 2033 earlier on. Again, very atmospheric, a unique graphical style. We were watching it live and sort of tweeting or discording as we were going along, trying to guess what this game was, and then we got the Russian buildings, and then it all fell into place, and it had lots of sort of nasty creatures in it. It had the face mask thing, and probably the air filters all again, and that looked. We're going to talk about next gen. Next gen's here at last.
Yeah, the wind and the weather effects and that, it looks really good.
Well, I was going to make one suggestion, Robin, and throw this out at you. This is, granted, I'm potentially stepping on toes here, but I was going to say maybe we shouldn't rehash each E3 press conference.
No, we can't. No, we shouldn't. No.
Because I'm already looking at the time.
That was Wednesday. Okay,
so,
special.
So highlights. The highlights. For me, the highlights were those games. I love the things that they've done. I like the presentation that they've done. I like the way they've done it. I like Phil Spencer being consistent all the way through it. I love the things they're doing with the crossover with Minecraft and the future of Minecraft. I think that's kind of cool. And I thought they had a lot of really, really good content there. And then the cheer was for OG Xbox at the end. It was maybe a wee bit a bit crazy because it's OG. And it's but I really liked what Microsoft showed this time. A lot of meat, well thought out. They showed us exactly what we needed to see. And they reinforced, as I said on Wednesday, they reinforced that this platform is the best place to play their own games and third-party games. And I full awards to them for that.
Should we – well, here's actually a suggestion for time's sake. Do you want to just run through your highlights real fast, Robin, and then have Mark run through his? And because, yeah. I mean, in essence, I can – you know, we'll just kind of race through how we kind of graded each conference. I know you guys already graded them, but it's worth going back through, and then I can throw in my two cents.
Yeah, well, for me, purchases will be Forza, Battlegrounds, State of Decay, Sea of Thieves, Crackdown 3, and Ori and the Will of the Wisps will definitely be on my purchase lists. I've already pre-ordered Life is Strange. Bing, bing, bing. So, yeah, I'm very happy with what they've done. And,
yeah, you know what I just saw? An image of your Yolog budget blowing up.
Yeah. Blow it up. Can't do it. Yep. So towards the end of the year, by the end of the year, December will be an expensive month for me.
Right.
I have set out what I achieved to do, and I have achieved it well. And by autumn or fall, everybody is super duper. Everybody is done a great time. So, you know, we should pat ourselves on the back and all go out and buy Xbox Sixes.
Who would you like to go next, Robin?
Oh, shit. You, Greg, seeing you're so vocal. I'm going to go.
Yeah, I know. I'm the vocal one. Sorry.
Yeah.
So what I'll do is just kind of run through my impressions of the conferences and kind of give my grade, if you will. So starting with worst to best. So Bethesda came across worst to me. I felt that their conference was nothing more than a preference this. There are two conferences that I actually felt bad for the journalists that, you know, attended those conferences, because ultimately those conferences were nothing more than Nintendo Directs and could have easily been handled by saying, hey, everybody, just tune in to watch this conference. So Bethesda was the first one to pull this trick.
and Sony was the other.
Yeah. But Bethesda, I mean, they didn't show anything to me outside of Wolfenstein,
which looks brilliant, by the way.
It does. It does. Brilliant. Looks great. But their conference just disappointed me to no end. I felt like they didn't have enough content to have a conference, and that really was the case. So to me, this was a clear case of why did you do this? You know, this is why some publishers shouldn't do conferences. It's why Activision doesn't do a conference. They don't have enough content. And Bethesda clearly didn't have enough content to hold their own conference. And on top of that, they hold it at 9 o'clock at night. They make reporters go to this venue, and then they fucking show them a video. Bravo, Bethesda. You're earning the hearts and minds of the journalists.
I think they thought that a couple of years ago when they did the Fallout thing, that every year would be received so well.
Right.
And it maybe hasn't turned that way. But yeah, out of their conference, God Almighty, Wolfenstein looked awesome. Everything else was okay. I'm not an Evil Within fan. I'm not really a Dishonored fan. Skyrim, for fuck's sake, Skyrim. You know, Doom VR, Creation Club. Okay. Yeah,
Doom VR and Fallout VR, I've not heard very positive things from the show floors.
No. Those Nazis, whoa. But you're absolutely right. So they could have phoned that in. They should have phoned it in.
So EA, I know we already kind of talked about that, but that was the next least best or better than Bethesda conference. And EA had some really good games. Their conference itself, though, I judged as kind of poorly just because it had some really cringeworthy moments. They had a few games that kind of stood out to me. And Anthem certainly is a fantastic game, probably the game that I'm most excited for coming out of this conference, but it didn't really get shown off at their conference. So it hurt their conference overall to me. But in one sense, it also kind of saves their conference. because it is their game. And so from that standpoint, I look at what EA's got coming out. I'm excited about Madden. I am definitely looking forward to Anthem, as we already know. And Battlefront 2 looks like it's gonna be okay. And so those three games to me were enough to say, yeah, you know, it's better than what Bethesda did. So
I'm killing my Jets for Anthem. It's too early.
Early for Anthem. My Jets are fired.
It looks fired. It looks weird, but I'm just killing my Jets.
When I found out that the footage they showed off was actually running off an Xbox One X, that told me it's going to be fine. So that brings me to next. And next is actually all three console manufacturers. I actually kind of am putting them all at the same level. So they all are finishing, quote unquote, second. I felt they all had strengths and they all had weaknesses to their conference. I'll start with Microsoft. I felt Microsoft had a really vast breadth of games. They showed off some really good games. They had the hardware, which, let's face it, I mean, I think the hardware is fantastic. Wasn't crazy about the price, but I do concede that the price for what you're getting is worth it. But I did feel their conference lacked the AAA big games, comparatively speaking. I felt they just didn't quite have enough of that, and that's okay.
Are you talking first
yes.
party?
First party. First party, yes.
Yeah.
I'm not going to count third party because third party to me, if it's on every platform, then there's nothing to really distinguish it from the one to the next. So I don't really look at that as being a barometer of a good show or not a good show. So for me, I would have liked to have seen a little bit more from Microsoft. But again, it's not to say they didn't have a good conference. I feel that they had a good conference. But, you know, there are off years. Sony had the past couple years. They didn't have a lot of big AAA first party games coming out in their conference, you know, in their year. So it happens. So what? They had an off year in terms of that, but they've really stepped up their game on the indie side. And the indie games and the smaller B tier games are delivering. So I'm really okay with that.
And quite strangely this year, Sony have been criticized for not showing enough indie titles this year's show. In fact,
I'm going to go to Sony next. So Sony, to me, I thought that what they showed, the AAA first party stuff looked fantastic. The Spider-Man game looks insanely good.
Although
I'm a little cautious about the QuickTime event stuff. God of War also looked fantastic. Oddly enough, I was always clamoring for. The Rage Kratos kind of annoyed me, but it felt a little weird, like the direction they're taking Kratos now. And I'm going to contradict myself within the same probably two sentences. I did actually like for the first time, and I think any God of War game, they kind of had that explanation within that trailer, that play sequence of him talking to his son about, you know, you have to set aside any emotion and just, you know, attack your enemy with all the ferocity that you can. And that little tidbit was like, you know what? I would have loved to have heard that in a previous game because it maybe would have helped me get past Kratos just destroying everything so viciously without any care. I don't know. So from that standpoint, Sony was fantastic, but Sony really was. I mean, the show itself was very short. Again, it could have been its own video. Didn't need to be actually at a site. I mean, Sean Layden came out. He spoke at the beginning. He spoke about two-thirds of the way through, and that was it. Nobody else was on stage. They had a couple people hanging from the ceiling like zombies, and then I think they had an orchestra in front. But honestly, there was no need for it to be an actual stage presentation at that point. So,
you see, man, I would go as far as to say is they did, you know, God of War looked fantastic. It looks like a fantastic game. Detroit Become Human, that's David Thingamabob. It's going to be Heavy Rain. Yeah, it does look really interesting, really good, but it's a David Cage game, and it could be completely crap. you know, and the zombie Days Gone thing.
I thought that was good.
Being talked about very, very positively by the press outside of the show now either.
I liked the twist. Like last year, the show does zombies attacking you, and then in this one, he used the environment and the zombies for his advantage. I liked that twist to it. So it showed you a different side of the gameplay, at least. And it looks beautiful.
Well my last, and this was my knock for Sony, outside of it being a short show, my real knock was, quite honestly, outside of the new Shadow of Colossus remaster, this Sony conference was basically a reboot of 2016.
Yeah.
We didn't see anything new. So that was a pretty big letdown. What we saw was fantastic, and it looked great, but it was pretty much all known. I mean,
and unfortunately, there's a good lot of that as well isn't coming this year still, right? Either. So,
again, I don't necessarily hold that against them, because the one thing I've known from Sony over the years is that that's what they always do. They always show a year to 2 years out. Microsoft is always about this coming, you know, now, this year, and into next year. And that's just the way the two companies operate. So I look past that a lot.
I think they're both going to have a good bite at the cherry, especially I have high hopes that Microsoft at Gamescom this year are going to – because they didn't talk about Halo or Gears or anything like that this year on purpose, I think, because they're gonna do it later in the year. And that'll be there's more to come.
Well, there's definitely more to come, for sure. And then Nintendo, I felt like Nintendo's conference is actually quite good.
I liked a lot of what
they showed off. Mario Odyssey looks awesome. The Mario Rabbids XCOM-like game looks kind of cool. The Yoshi game looked really phenomenal. That two sides.
With the unfolded effect, tearaway effect.
Right.
Those boobs in Xenoblade Chronicles were just unreal.
Always love the boobs. But my knock on Nintendo really was it was way too short. It was 30 minutes. There wasn't enough. So as much as what they released looked good, I would have expected a lot more and would hope for a lot more. So for all of those reasons, I kind of put them all in the same pot. They're all sitting right around a B+ to me. I thought they all had good conferences. They weren't bad at all, but they all had their pluses and they all had their minuses to them. And then Ubisoft was a surprising, really good show, and I think Ubisoft had the best conference out of all of them.
But okay, so you shot me down about Beyond Good and Evil 2. That friggin' hell, now, you know, these characters that you've loved in Beyond Good and Evil, it's not that game, it's a completely different game, and it's a completely different game that they showed last time round as well.
So here's the funny thing. I had this actually exact conversation earlier. I was talking with Steve Conger because he called me up and he was complaining about that. He was like, what did they do to Beyond Good and Evil 2? This is nothing like the game it used to be. And I said to him, matter of fact, I said, there's probably a good reason for that. And that is that even though Beyond Good and Evil was a media darling and the media kind of held it in high regard, the game didn't sell. And so I think they've made tweaks to try and make it a more attractive game to a more modern generation of console gamers. I could have done without all of the F-bombs, but I did love the monkey regardless.
I could have watched that trailer was one of the best 2-hour movie of that.
Yeah. So I'm okay with it. I'm very okay with it. The new Bones Skull and Bones game looks awesome.
Yeah.
Hopefully there's enough bones on it to make a game.
Yeah, I think the only real cringeworthy moment for the Ubisoft conference was the Dance Revolution stuff, the Dance Dance, you know, and that even was
Panda on Drugs.
Not that bad. Panda on Drugs is always good.
I wonder why they show those games every year. Because it's not for the audience that's in the audience. So, I mean, would they sell less if they weren't there?
You know, I think that gets back to the purpose of E3, right? E3 is in a weird place right now because it's evolving into a public show. And the press conferences certainly have been viewed by the public now for many years as an event. But the reality of E3 was it is a business show where and it wasn't even about the press. Originally, E3 was all about vendors coming to E3 to find out what was coming and place their orders. So, to me, that's the one reason why they do still show that game, because they do still have vendors coming to that, and that game sells. That game sells a lot. Mm-hmm. So, they want to make sure that the vendors know it's coming still. So,
okay. Other cool, exciting things. Battlegrounds. We'd mentioned it earlier on,
right?
But that sounds cool. I have lots of questions. Like, how did they get 100 players in there? Will it be as good?
Yeah.
Will it look good?
We touched it on Wednesday, didn't we? Because I think obviously all that's going to be server side anyway, so I think it'll handle it.
A beta is coming soon for it as well. So.
The interesting thing about Battlegrounds, they were talking about it. I forgot who was talking about it, but I heard somebody talking about it. And they were talking about that very thing, and how are they going to handle that? But the reality is, when you have, even though you have 100 people dropping into that server, it's not 100 people on screen at once. The most you probably ever see in one game is maybe 5-6 people.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, excuse me.
Yeah. The actual on-screen, performance demands are actually, I think, probably pretty low.
Yeah, you never see them.
So I think it'll be just fine. It's not like Battlefield.
I hope it looks better than the Culling. The Culling doesn't look too. It doesn't look too good. I've tried it. There's some interesting stuff there as well.
Yeah, you know what else is coming out that didn't get a show release, but I'm super excited for.
What?
The Golf Club 2, baby.
Oh, yeah. Seen that. Yeah. Seen it coming soon.
Yep. It's coming at end of month, I believe.
Wow.
Yep. And they have player progression now. You actually have a career. And they've gone and you no longer have just the one static person to create. You actually have a player character model you can play with. So I'm excited for that one. I think the community will get behind that again, too. It'll be fun.
Yeah. And we've seen a bit more for Craig. Far Cry 5, that looks kind of cool too.
It does look neat. It does look good.
A big loss, not that much VR. I know Sony had VR there, but not the expected VR in Microsoft. We sort of thought that was going to be there, which is I'm quite happy about, actually.
Yeah.
I wasn't excited going in. I'm quite excited about it coming out. I think there's some really, really good meat on the bones. So I'm happy with the E3 that happened.
Yeah.
And the Scorpio, the Xbox X, is just the cream on the cake.
Yeah. Well, by the way, I did launch that question out onto Twitter. So if you're listening to this, go look up our podcast Twitter. We have a poll out. I suppose I should pin it, or maybe one of you can pin it if you're looking at it. But
we'll
pin it to the top.
Well, I mean, in the chat there, Big Rob is saying that he'll probably pick up an Xbox S next year,
Probably drop to $200 by then.
Yeah.
And it's a capable machine. That's the other nice thing that I don't think a lot of people realize. I mean, it upscales to 4K. So, granted, it's not true 4K, so it's not going to be as, crisp, if you will, but the picture's good. It'll play Amazon in 4K. It'll play Blu-ray, Ultra Blu-ray. So, I mean, it's a capable box.
I think it's been explained a bit better now that you just won't have to have a 4K TV to get the full benefit out of this new hardware, which is encouraging, maybe a bit better explained than the Pro when the Pro came out.
Because
I think that was, Christ, what's the point in getting this? I don't have a 4K. But with the thought that it's going to upscale on your 1080p TV really, really well is because that's the position I'm going to be in, because my main Xbox is on a projector and I'm not just about to throw $2,000 at a 4K projector at this moment in time.
Yeah. I mean, in some respects, Robin, if you think about it, the way the Xbox One X is working, it's actually, I think, a lot similar to how when somebody upgrades their graphics card in their PC. Yeah. Because
future-proof it more, they get the best one they can rather than just the next tier. Yeah.
Right. And since games often are kind of supporting all those multiple levels, if you will, or whatever, of different graphics cards, You know, you're able to kind of get that boost regardless of, you know, kind of what the game is doing itself. And that's, I think, the difference, because the way the PS4 Pro seems to work, and again, I'm not an expert on how it works, but I mean, it seems like that they have to, in a sense, enable that boost mode in order for older games to get performance.
Yeah, that's the paper chambers.
All right. Yeah, that's a rabbit hole I don't want to go down. But, you know, one thing I want to touch on, and Mark, we didn't ask about, you know, your thoughts. So I suppose we can ask about your thoughts real quick.
Well, I covered it all on Wednesday, really, because all my grades and that. And to be honest with you, I can't fully remember what I graded. I think I gave
Microsoft
and Sony an A. Yeah, because I've taken my show notes and stuff now. But, yeah, my big highlights were Anthem, Spider-Man, the Metro game, the Skull and Bones. I liked that. So, and obviously VX, the announcement of VX. And I won't.
Okay, good, good. Okay, well, that would look. That was E3. Let us know what you thought about E3. This is what we thought about it. Over the next 6 to 12 months, there's going to be lots of exciting things for us all to get our teeth into. So you know, you're going to be back to Call of Duty. With no jetpacks, the boots on the ground again, and all of that sort of stuff. So there's lots, there's generic stuff coming out, and there's some exciting new stuff coming out as well. And so let's rattle on through this. I don't think we have the new competition up and running yet, Craig, do we? No, so that'll be coming soon.
We gave Jason Johnson still a well-deserved rest.
I don't even think at this stage we need to talk about new releases. Well, there is a few new releases this week. There's only four of them there. Darkest Dungeon, The Crimson Court on PS4 and PC, Final Fantasy 15 Stormblood, PS4, PC, Mac on June 20th, Ever Oasis for the 3DS, wow, and Get Even for the PS4, Xbox One and PC later on in the week. There are monthly freebies. They're all out there. You should know them by now. I'm not even going to talk about them. Playdates, if we have time tomorrow evening, there will be something. We will be online playing a game. It could be anything, really. It could be from Forza. It could be PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds. Keep an eye on our Twitter feed, and we will announce that. Or if you see us on Xbox Live, jump in. Or on PlayStation or wherever we may be. Maybe if you have the podcast member playing a game and it's multiplayer, just grab us. Victory achieved. We've got quite a bit of this backlog. We've got 2 weeks here, so I'm going to go on through them. Victory achieved is our quarterly competition where when you finish a game, you take a photograph of yourself with the credits in the background, a selfie, if you will, and you tweet that off to @OC_podcast for a free entry to win some money to buy games. And that is running until the 30th of June. That will be drawn at random. And you can win some stuff. People are part of this Year of Living Gamerously thing that some twat set up, finishing 30 games within a 12-month period. And that's Ulog, Y-O-L-G. So if you are one of those people, just remember to put the hashtag Ulog. And please remember to send these not to my personal Twitter address. Please send them to @OC_podcast for all of these. So last week, Terraform finished Call of Duty Infinite Warfare. Dastardly Jabby finished Dead Rising. Jane Nezzy finished Outlast. Chris MJW finished Yis Oth Falajanga. Falajanana. Frig, you're weird, Chris. PG Tips finished Wolfenstein The Old Blood. Wolfenstein. PG Tips also finished Lego Marvel Superheroes. And myself, I finished Far Cry Trials of the Blood Dragon. And I was glad it was over. It was fun for a while, but I'm glad it was done. People that were in the just non-log, the people that were just finishing the games for the fun of them, Calling All Cars. He finished Tales from the Borderlands. Good game. Infected Psych. Finished Abzu. Mark Annex. He watched a girl talking a lot on her story. Amras finished Mass Effect Andromeda. And Duke Scath finished something called Witch Her Tea. And this week, we had again had a lot of U-loggers finishing games. Hardly Dan finished Mafia 3 at last. He done a 24-hour gaming session. Yeah. So look Hardly Dan up and give him some money. Have to do that, Dan. Sorry, I'm late. I will do it. He also finished Gears of War 4. filthy, finished some crappy thing called XCOM Enemy Unknown.
Greg.
I'm going to stab you in the eyeballs.
Hardly Dan finished Valiant Hearts, The Great War.
With a spoon.
A French gentleman called Hershey Felon finished Uncharted 4. Bongo the Sea finished Mass Effect Andromeda. And Dastardly Jabby finished Crisis 3. And the non-loggers were Infected Psych with Life is Strange. Natras finishing Uncharted 4, which he absolutely loved.
Good boy.
Steffi Business also finished Mass Effect Andromeda. And John Lavalley finished Horizon Zero Dawn. John, great to have you back finishing games. So that's a lot. Well done, everybody. Keep at it. It's lovely to see games popping up there like Crisis 3, XCOM Enemy Unknown, Abzu, you know, games like people have sort of forgotten about and have went back to. So I'm really happy that's happening. Greg, seeing you are the resident chief cheese, would you like to start to wind us up a little bit and get us home? Let's go. Because today it's already started. It's Father's Day over here. So I want to start my Father's Day.
Well, can I start your Father's Day off with some E3 prediction grading?
Oh, shit. Yeah. Go on, man. Yeah. Yeah. Only if we all got them right. Yeah. What were our grades? What did we predict? Did we predict everything?
Here we go. Grading? We're going to run through this. There's some highlights. There's some low lights. So I graded things in three ways. Either you got it right, more or less, you got it right, you got it pretty much wrong, or I coded this one blue as in you kind of got it right, but there might not have been something totally right, but there was enough there within the prediction to say maybe like a half point, right? And on the half points, you guys can be the judge. If you feel that that's being overly generous or overly cruel, excuse me, tell me so.
Okay.
Also, swallowing your spit is difficult. Here we go. All right, so for me, I'm just going to run through this in order for everybody. All right, so for Nintendo, I got incorrect. Donkey Kong game announced for Switch. There was no such thing. I did get correct that there was a new Pokemon game for the 3DS and the 2DS. And I did get correct that there was actually an additional game announced for Pokemon for the Switch. I did not get correct that a significant chunk of time was going to be focused on third-party games. Apparently, they did not get my memo. For Sony, I considered this I got it right, which was no price reduction for E3, but new bundles announced for PS4 Pro and PSVR. That's it. Because the bundles part, I think, I don't know if they did a PS4 Pro bundle. So that could be a half step. I definitely got wrong God of War being delayed to 2018, as well as a remastered collection being offered. I got wrong that Detroit is going to get a holiday October-December timing release date because it doesn't have a release date as of yet. I did get kind of a partial right in that while there was no new Death Stranding trailer, I did say that it was not going to be released in 2018. And that is still correct.
I don't think it's going to be released this century, is it? Of this decade, anyway.
I also did not get correct that there was no new Infamous game announced. So I had a really poor showing with Sony. And on Microsoft, I did not get one thing right. There was no new Perfect Dark game announced. There was no new Mech Assault game announced. There was no Alpha Protocol sequel announced. No Halo 6 early beta access with Crackdown 3 purchase as of right now. Maybe that'll come. But I heard them joking around on it on Giant Bomb, I'm pretty sure that's not going to happen now. And, of course, Scorpio being $399 is just a thing of dreams now.
Fail boat.
Yeah. On the PC side, I think I did rather good. The PC E3 show once again will be a bit lackluster affair with few indie reveals, no triple A's on stage, no megatons. That was spot on. VR will not be a focus of the majority of the games that do get shown. Again, I feel that was spot on. And there will be zero talk of Steambox, which Steambox is, I think,
dead.
Mark, You got Forza 7 announced and will be a launch title for Scorpio. You got that one perfectly spot on. 60 frames per second with 4K resolution. There is no Halo 6 that was announced, Mark, I'm sorry to say. Nor was there a Sunset Overdrive 2 sequel that got announced. For Sony, you also bombed. No Last of Us 2 Part 2, no playable demo, and available to play on the show floor.
Yeah,
none of
that
happened.
Yeah, I was upset about that.
Yep. God of War getting a release date for spring of 2018. No. 2017. Bloodborne 2 did not get a sequel announced either. Sorry, I know you were begging for that one. No Bloodborne 2 as of yet. Maybe Gamescom.
Yeah.
For Nintendo, you did get a half point. I gave you a half point on this one. The SNES Classic revealed. The problem with that I have with this is that that got revealed prior to E3.
Yes.
Smash Brothers gets a new game announced on Switch. No, that didn't happen. And the Assassin's Creed game is not coming to the Switch. So no. That also did not happen. And then you had the greedy devs as a collective. You actually did quite well here, Mark.
Right.
Assassin's Creed game now pimped out big time by Ubisoft and will look awesome. Yes, they did that. Bethesda announces Skyrim 2. Okay, this one you missed.
Yeah.
No Skyrim 2.
No.
But new Wolfenstein game from Bethesda.
Yeah,
yes. You said EA will pimp out Star Wars Battlefront 2 single-player campaign with playable demo, but then ruined by showcasing a new and improved FIFA and Madden. And while they didn't do the single-player playable demo, I felt like everything about that was just right.
Yeah.
So I gave you full credit on that. let's see. Kim did pretty decent on Microsoft. Finally get the price point for Scorpion release date. It was a softball play, but she got it. Scalebound will be brought back. She missed that. Cuphead will finally get a release date,
it
and
did.
It will be soon.
Yeah.
So I gave her full marks for that.
Yeah.
For Sony, she missed out. Bloodborne 2, that's not happening. She said there will line up of possible VR games. So this one, we got to have a little roundtable discussion. Do we give her full marks? Do we give her partial marks? Because I know they had that kind of middle section of their conference where they dedicated some time to VR.
Yeah, they did.
Do we consider that a lineup?
They did.
I would give her
nothing. They did a showreel.
Nothing.
I'd give her at least half.
All right. We're giving her half.
I'd give her one.
What about points?
Yes. And she also got God of War 4 getting a release date. So overall, she did okay there. And then for Nintendo, she said a lineup of new 3DS games announced. This I actually think she got wrong because they didn't actually do a lineup of 3DS games. Yeah. So didn't give her a point there. She did say more first-party games coming. Again, a softball prediction, I'm just saying. But at the end of the day, it was accurate. They did announce more first-party games. Fraser Moores, he did horrible with Sony. Yep, no PS5 getting a nice. Yeah, no PS5 announced. PSVR new version getting announced. That didn't happen. And there was no new Ratchet and Clank game announced. He missed out on VR announced for Scorpio. That didn't happen. And he did get Battlegrounds as timed exclusive, thanks to Greg. So it is coming to console for Xbox as an exclusive, but I think it technically is a timed exclusive.
Yeah.
They just haven't been working on a PlayStation 4 version at this point, so there's nothing to announce there, but I think eventually it probably comes. So I gave him full mark there. Something very big announced for Xbox Live and PC console integration. At first, I was going to nix this and say, no, he didn't get it. But then I remembered Minecraft.
Yeah.
Minecraft and Rocket League. And, yeah.
Fucking nailed that.
He's got a wizard inside of him, isn't he, at Microsoft?
Yeah. For Nintendo, he said a new Metroid Prime game. I know they announced a new Metroid game, but it wasn't a Prime
4.
They showed a 4. That's all they did.
But
it was a number 4.
But he called it.
I know. He called it.
Yeah, it would technically announce.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Okay.
He did miss on a Switch XL, although he did put a lulz behind it. And then there was no new Golden Sun game, so he missed out on those two. Now we get to Mr. Bongo the Sane.
Uh-oh.
Yep. Robin, the aggressive price of $3.99 did not happen.
No.
Nor was it announced that all first-party games will be included within a year and a half to 2 years of launch for Game Pass.
No.
That's not get announced.
Yeah,
and sadly, Oculus support for Scorpio and MS own VR devices also did not happen.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, they stayed clear of VR for now. Nintendo, unfortunately, a new unheard of AAA IP will be announced. I guess we.
Yeah.
What was
Yoshi?
Is that unheard of? We know
Yoshi.
Everyone
loves Yoshi.
Yeah.
I'll give you a half mark on that. Half.
Kirby?
But those are known. They're known IP. That's what I was getting at.
But I forgot about them.
Virtual console will be available within days of E3 for the major library available, being GameCube. That did not happen. And I did give you half mark for the SNES Classic Mini will be announced to be released by end of year. That did get announced, Robin. That did happen, but it happened on April 24th. for PlayStation, there was no Rock City game being shown off, unfortunately. I think we all would have loved this.
Yeah.
I did give you a partial mark here. We'll see the same stuff we've seen from last year. God of War, Detroit Becoming Human, and Death Stranding. I almost want to give you a full mark for this. The Death Stranding was the only miss there. Because we saw God of War, we saw Detroit Become Human. So,
well, as the podcast host, I think I should get the full point for that.
Okay.
Right, thank you.
There we go. The ruling authority has ruled. Gran Turismo and Days Gone will get a release date of this year. That did happen, I think.
They didn't even show Gran Turismo at the conference.
Yeah, but it it is coming this year.
But yeah. They did say, but they probably showed it off later at E3, didn't they? So.
Yeah. Sony will announce a new handheld. That did not happen. Nor did we get any kind of nod to a PS5.
No, it doesn't.
On to some listener predictions. Jason Johnson had chimed in with a few predictions. He gets, a half point for this one. Microsoft will show the Scorpio, announce an official name for the console, and announce something Halo-related for it. The half mark being that they didn't announce anything Halo-related for the console.
Yeah.
So
not yet, but they're going to very shortly.
He missed the mark on Nintendo will announce something the fans have been asking for, but still fuck it up in some way because it's Nintendo. I don't feel like Nintendo fucked anything up this year other than having a very short conference. He did not get the mark for Sony will announce a service to compete with Microsoft's Game Pass. They already have that, Jason. It's called PS Now. Just saying.
PS Note.
Yeah. He also missed the mark on Bethesda will announce a wholly new AAA IP that will be the main focus of their show.
Huh.
New.
I don't think we showed anything new, did they, apart from Wolfenstein?
And then he said, lastly, EA will show off at least three Star Wars games, with Battlefront being the big game of their show. Battlefront was kind of the big game of their show, so maybe half point for that, but it wasn't
God,
three Star Wars games.
Yeah. It didn't show you the one that your woman's writing. That used to be Uncharted writer. What was her name? Yep. Amy Hemmings or whatever. Yep. Yeah, that didn't appear. But they had there was a mobile one that was announced straight after the show was finished as well. That would have been all developed at Star Wars Galaxies or whatever it's called.
Half point for that, Jason. Dan Knapman gets the strongest yes for getting this prediction correct. He said, "I predict we'll be lied to, and that I will find it rather dull." Oh, and there will be at least one technical issue. He does get marks on that because Sony had audio technical issues in their show.
Beginning of the stream.
And on top of that, I believe during one of the conferences, a lighting fixture caught on fire on top of that. So,
I did see that.
That's right.
I know EA had a few blunders with the presenters. They were they were trying to be clever and use YouTube personalities. And the guy who presented the Need for Speed Payback, Jesus Christ, he really struggled at first. Yeah.
Well, apparently his teleprompter went out.
Ah, right.
So that was the problem. So, yes, technical issues definitely hit. Yeah. Stephen Bull, he had predicted that Microsoft will reveal a new VR headset for Scorpio. That did not happen. I think we all kind of thought it might, but no, it did not. And then Matt, MPower343, he announced that a retail bundle for mixed reality headset and Scorpio, Fallout VR at Scorpio launch, timed exclusive. Everything about that was wrong, with the exception of Fallout 4 VR being a thing, but it's not for Scorpio. It's coming out actually on PSVR as well as for the PC VR headsets, and also it's crap. and then the biggest list of predictions from a listener. So Kenny999 chimed in with a ton. So I'm going to read through them real fast, and I will just say hit and miss at the end or partial. Hit, PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds to be, and it's available right now on Xbox One Early Access, but not PS4, as they don't have a similar thing yet. So I gave him a partial on that because it's not available right now, but it is coming to Early Access, and it's not coming to PS4 VR. PS4 Early Access, because that's not a thing. PS4 Early Access to be announced. Not miss. Destiny 2 will be shown at least once every 3 minutes for the entire 5-day event. I think that was actually accurate. I didn't actually time it, but I believe this to be accurate, so I gave him a full mark on that. Major Nelson to provide more proof that he is an unlikable arsewipe. I gave him partial credit on this, because this is a matter of opinion. Some love him, some hate him. But I think there was enough evidence at the show that would further the opinions of those people one way or the other. I gave him a missed it for Sony forgot PSVR is a thing, other than a 30-second sizzle reel, but they're still fully committed, maybe a small price drop in the hardware. So they had more than a 30-second sizzle reel, and they didn't really forget about PSVR. It actually was pretty up front and center at the conference, so it was hard to give him a mark for that one. He said every Ubisoft game shown will have a god-awful fake game chatter to it. I don't think they had one. I think this is the first time we had a Ubisoft conference with no fake chatter. So there was, I couldn't give that to him. I was surprised by that. I really had to think about it, but no, I don't think we had one game. That was all on the EA conference. I gave him partial credit for Microsoft to announce Crackdown 3 again, minus the cloud processing. Also, probably more changes from the original plan. So, partial credit because cloud processing is still there. It's just on the multiplayer side. Yeah. It's not part of the single player. So, and yes, they did announce it again. Project Scorpio will have a silly real name and launch at $399. Couldn't give him full credits there. One, because I think the name actually is okay, and two, the price was wrong. And then he also threw in, also guaranteed to be unanimously acclaimed and simultaneously slated by respective sides of the moronic fanboy rabble. That was spot on. He gets full marks for that. Phil Spencer to once again come across as a thoroughly decent chap. He was all over the place this conference. I saw multiple interviews with him. I think
he earned his money.
He definitely earned his money.
He was the perfect ambassador for Microsoft. He did a superb job. Yeah. The interviews,
and this is he came across honest.
He didn't give bullshit answers. He gave truthful answers. And I think he's one of the best guys Microsoft's had. Well, Xbox team anyway. Yeah.
Agreed. And then on the heels of this also, kind of fittingly, he said, Giant Bomb will once again make me laugh throughout all the press conferences. Yes. Their streams and their E3 content is probably the best in the business, if you ask me.
Honest, nice guys. Yeah.
Yes. Bloodborne 2 teased. No, wasn't even teased. We got nothing. Phantom Dust remake to be released on Xbox and PC before E3, maybe even later today. Actually, I think he gets this one. And now that I think about when he sent this in, he gets that because that was he sent this right on the day that Phantom Dust came out.
Right.
And then XCOM 3 announced. I gave him partial credit because they announced the big DLC expansion.
Yeah.
So like there we go.
A new part of the game.
Very good.
Yeah, and the winners of all of this are all of us, and the losers for all of this are all of us.
We do well? Well, thank you very much, everybody, for listening. If you want to join in every week, we go out on twitch.tv/OC podcast and mixer.com/OC podcast and on YouTube at 11 p.m. UK, 3 p.m. West Coast, and 6 p.m. East Coast. Please email the show with anything at podcast@OCpod.com. Our Twitter address is @OC_podcast. Our Facebook group is fb.ocpodcast. Oops, it's not. It's fb.ocpod.com. Please leave us a review anywhere you want, on Facebook, on YouTube, on anywhere. Twitter, doesn't matter. Leave us a review. And we've lots of clubs, lots of activity going on all our social activities. And, of course, our very active and absolutely wonderful device called Discord, discord.ocpod.com. Go there, get the app on your phone, do it on your computer. It's brilliant.
I tried to tell you guys.
It's absolutely fabulous. I love Discord. So, finishing off. Greg, would you like to have a wee shout-out? Not often you get asked to do this first, so
yeah,
Greg.
Yeah. No, absolutely. So first, I'm actually going to read a real quick email. I forgot about this. We did get an email from Pilch Reed, and this was in response to the E3 podcast that you ran, Mark.
Right.
Said, hey, guys, I just wanted to say what a good jarb. A good jarb.
Jarb.
That's my English accent attempt, apparently. What a good job, Mark and Robin and Fraser did with the E3 show. Oh, he says, Horizon Zero Dawn will be game of the year. It's awesome. If you don't want to get into the wonderful world of PC wankery, perfect combination is a PS4 for exclusives and Xbox for everything else.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he says Xbox, absolutely. Which I believe he's going with Xbox One X, because that's the new acronym.
Is he doing what Netras is doing then? Is gone PS4 for now and then get the Scorpio.
Yeah. I believe so.
That's a good move, is that?
But, yeah. He says, you know, it makes sense. Indeed. Indeed. So, yes, that's from Pilch. Thank you, Pilch. Appreciate Pilch. Your feedback. And, Mark, yes, you did a fantastic job. So, yes, you get my
really
first
did.
Shout out.
Thank
Props,
you. Very much.
Man.
Yeah. My first Perfectly time hosting, fine. And it went okay. Yeah. I enjoyed it.
And
actually.
You had it was a tough crowd, man. You had Robin and Fraser. Those are two tough cats to rag, you know, rally in.
Oh, and there was fight and talk before it as well, so it didn't mature into that. We were restrained.
Yeah. No, you guys did great. It was a very fun show. I for one, actually appreciated being able to listen to it on my plane flight home. So thank you for that.
I got that out straight after the show just for you, Greg, for your flight home.
I saw that, yes. It was perfectly timed. Speaking of flights, I want to thank Southwest for my easy flight out to Chicago. And I want to curse Southwest for my horrific flight back home from Chicago.
Did it drag you off a plane, did it, or anything?
No, just delays, lots of delays. it amazes me that rain affects flight. Who would have thought? You know, one thing I want to talk about, this is part of my shout out. It was something I probably could have talked about earlier, but Sony, get a handle on your executives. Sean Layden and Jim Ryan have been out doing a lot of interviews with like Business Time type companies, which one, I find it odd that there are no Sony executives now actually coveting the games media anymore. We don't see interviews. We didn't see anybody from Sony come out to the giant bomb set. We didn't see anything with GameSpot. I don't think they had anybody outside of maybe some developers talking to the press. You know, ever since, what's his name, Adam Boyes left.
I was just going to say Adam Boyes was their best man for talking to gamers, true gamers.
Yeah.
But he's gone
now.
He
really was relatable, even though he annoyed me sometimes.
Yeah.
I felt like he was a good face man for them.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. He's gone. And remember this guy, Shuhei Yoshida, who everybody like bowed down to for the longest
never
time?
Never saw him today.
He's been this week. Absent.
Yeah.
I haven't seen him.
He's been tweeting. I like Shuhei.
It's kind of funny. We touched on this a wee bit with our internal chats about there was almost maybe an arrogance.
Mm-hmm.
They are so far ahead in the numbers game of machinery sold that maybe they're just not trying as hard to woo us guys as they have been. Now they're doing really well, and there's some great titles coming out, so you can't knock them that way. But and people, and then Fraser would have the argument, well, Microsoft have had to because they were so far behind in the game. But that's a long time ago, and they keep on doing more and more and more and more and more that maybe they don't even need to do. And wow. I think we want to see Sony doing that as well, because good competition is good. And I think there's a wee bit of our arrogance, maybe.
I don't know if it's Sony's lost their way, or if it's a matter of Sony the business machine is starting to come forward again.
Well, they're relying heavily on the PlayStation brand now for a lot of their income, because they're cutting down on a lot of their electronics and other aspects of business. So yeah, maybe they're just all in for the money now. And maybe it's not going to be all for the gamers like they want it to be. We'll see.
Look, I've never been a fan of Sean Layden. I don't find him particularly enjoyable to listen to.
I miss Jack Tretton.
Nor do I feel this, you know, Ryan also equally kind of annoys my ears. But the interviews they've been giving of late, it's not just that they're negative towards, you know, Microsoft or whatever, but they're negative towards gamers. Well, they're talking about the, you know, there's not a need for backwards compatibility. Why would you want to play those old games? That kind of talk to me is just, on one hand, it's kind of scary because, you know, preservation of backwards compatibility in our libraries should be something that these guys should be striving for.
Gamers should, you know, should have a choice.
Even more frighteningly, is forward compatibility. So when the PS5 does come, what happens to that PS4 library?
Right.
Important. Will it become important again or not? You know?
And I don't know if it was Sean Layden or if it was, you know, Jim Ryan, but they were talking about, you know, the Xbox X is a mistake. It's too powerful. It's too much of a machine. It's not needed. Those kind of words about holding back and not doing enough scare me. I don't want our industry going in that direction. Somebody reel those guys in. Stop letting them do interviews. Get back to the Sony that kind of won this generation, which was fun. It was lighthearted. It was talking to the gamers all the time. It was very public facing. I feel like right now we've just got a lot of suit and ties now emerging for Sony and just doing the business talk. Get away from it. You know, we want crossplay, Sony, and your fans want crossplay. We want all of these communities to get united. You know,
yeah. Okay.
So Mark, thank you, Robin, and thank you to anybody else that I should have been thanking.
I want to shout out Greg for the longest shout out ever.
Yeah.
I want to shout out Pilch for the feedback for Wednesday's show. Thank you very much. It means a lot
to
me because it was my first time hosting. And I'm probably going to put my name forward and do some Saturday hosting eventually. I want to shout out all the chatters we've had in tonight. We've had quite a few of them. We've had Batch. We've had Big Rob. It was awesome, Rob. We've had Viva La Pedros has been in there. Martin's been in there. PG Tips. And a few of
Chopper
others.
Kelly.
Yeah, Chopper Kelly said.
Chopper Kelly, Sarah. Fraser was in for a while too at the beginning.
Awesome support from the
regular people. Active in there.
Yep, so thank you to them. Over to you, Robin.
Again, Mark, you did a fantastic job on Wednesday. It was good fun, and you were a real natural at that, and you came over really, really well, so be proud and do it again. I would like to shout out my mother-in-law, who won't be listening to this, but the darn lucky woman. She won a competition on Facebook. People actually win them for like and share. She's won a VIP trip to the Wimbledon finals.
Wow.
So flights, nice. Hotels,
strawberries
VIP
and cream
seats.
And a bottle of Pimm's.
Yeah, the whole lot, shebang. So that's fantastic. And I just remind you, everybody, just be careful. Be careful when you're trying to move your cock that you don't end up and get a prick in the ass. So thanks, everybody, for listening. We will be back next week. And I hope you've enjoyed E3 as much as we have. And I've talked about it as much as we have with Talk Will Go On. Enjoy your gaming and see yous out there. Thanks very much for listening.
Boom!
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. Same time next week.
They killed the power around the world. We're gonna light it back up because this is far from over. In fact, it's only just begun. That's why we brought in you. You got the talent. Now you need the tech. Today, you throw grenades.
Boom!
Tomorrow, you'll be throwing cars.
Ah!
Forget dropping bombs. You're dropping buildings. Now it's time to get to work. Time to step up your...
Boom. Oh, that's my cue.